All things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Will Josh giddy up as he drives to the cup? Will Luzada play harder for last year's runners-up? Will Magnay's got his sights on the NBA? But will Bryce be an Aussie? He's gonna stay. We love Space Jam double-doubles and four-point shots from Bubbles. The Great Dane and Mitch and Lamar across the ditch. The Hawks signed a bloke named Justinian. And next year, we'll love the Tasmanian.
Brace for the puns and dad jokes. It's time for the Basketball Blokes.
G'day listeners, you're back with Benny, Banksy and Boydie, the Basketball Blokes, dribbling all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Bit of a weird one this week for us NBL fantasy fans and NBL fans with the no day gap in between. Obviously, there's a game starting as I record this down in the Silver Dome in Tasmania, New Zealand versus Perth. Keen to switch off this recording once I'm done and head on to watch that game. So I'll just wrap up a few of the injuries at the moment with this is from Dr. Boyd.
Dr. Boyd, if you want to refer to him as that, drove me home, got me onto the couch, put my leg up, twisted every which way you could twist. There was nothing wrong with it.
Oh, that's a gross fabrication of the story.
Ty Webster, obviously out this round already with that ankle.
That would be a calf.
So he is still three and a half weeks away, according to the last update from New Zealand. Now, if you want to get all the most up-to-date info that we have, we're updating it on basketballblokes.com/injury list. We do our best to update it as soon as news comes out. With Ty Webster obviously out of that team, you saw McDowell White get a 42-point game in the first game of round 13, so that was good to see, and nice and cheap, so we'll see how he goes tonight, and I think everybody just about will be getting him in with Ty out for at least another 3 weeks. The other big one from the weekend, Scotty Hobson missed the second game with, I think they're calling it an ankle as well. It might have been, looked like it might have been a knee, but it is an ankle. And I think on the Melbourne United presser after their win last night, coach said that he would probably be a fitness test, but I think they're only on the single the next 2 weeks, Melbourne United, so he might not be of interest to most people, possibly. But Scotty Hobson, fitness test to play in that game on Sunday. And of course, the other big one at the moment that's going around is that corky that Scotty Machado got during the game the other night. An update from Mike Kelly that was tweeted out earlier today, and we retweeted via our Twitter at @Beeble_blokes, is that he's in doubt for tomorrow night's clash versus Adelaide. Pretty heavy cork above his knee, so we rested him today. Hopeful that tomorrow with treatment he'll be good to go. But a bit of a question mark there, and obviously if you jump into our schedule, Isaac Cairns have got a couple of doubles in a row, one of the teams that do have the doubles for rounds 14 and 15, so Machado might have been of interest to those people that might have had to still get rid of Ty Webster. But looking like it might be a little bit of a risky call, but you, of course the round doesn't start until that Cairns game tomorrow night versus Adelaide, so you've also got a little bit of time and probably can wait until that starting lineup is announced, because I'm sure if he is playing, Scotty Machado will be starting for Cairns versus Adelaide against Giddy up there. That's a bit of a wrap for the injury list with Dr. Boy this week. Once again, www.basketballblokes.com/injury list for all the most up-to-date injury news. Cheers.
Cheers for that, Boydie. Now, a little bit of a look behind the curtain tonight for the listeners. Tonight, being a Tuesday night, is Boydie's social basketball night, and rather than stay up all night, I gave him the reins on his own segment, which sounds a bit strange, in the Dr. Boyd injury report, and given a few minor details he left off there, I might have to take it off him, but I think the description I got was a bit of dad life and had to do it in a bit of a rush, but I'll carry on with the injury report because I've gone through and I have updated that our website, so it just shows how reliant Boardy might be on that. So what I'll do is I'll work through the players that returned to start off with. So we had each of Lamar Patterson, Tanner Krebs, and Anthony Drimmick returning in round 13. Now, that has just become such a crowded line of, and I did think that Lamar Patterson is going to be a fantasy prospect for us in the future. Drimmick, finally, despite playing behind Krebs prior to Krebs' injury, seemed to get the start and have more of a role. And Patterson, after getting fouled out disgustingly in that first game, came back and he looked all right. He was doing some of the things that we were used to seeing Lamar Patterson do. So there's going to come a time, I think, where we're going to have to make that decision and maybe get Lamar back into our side and someone else who returned. Now, thinking back to the start of this very long round, it was such a risk to bring Tyler Harvey in at the start of the week. He was coming off the back spasms. The decision was, are you going to cop that 100K price fall after his horrible score the week before? And it turned out to be the move, especially if you're one of those people like Boardy, who's going to be our top bloke this week, who decided to get out Ty Webster for Tyler Harvey this week. I mean, that's a pretty nice point differential there. I decided to take the risk on Ty Webster and was just so disappointed with the injury updates or lack thereof from the Breakers. It was, however, pointed out by Boardy, I thought somewhat gloatingly, but in all honesty, quite accurately, that, I mean, why would the Breakers do it if there's no mandatory injury reporting? It's in their best interest to not report the injury until later on in the week, so not to give their opponents any extra preparation time. So until that changes, that's the way we're going to have to play fantasy, unfortunately. Another Breaker that returned surprisingly and got minutes was Rob Lowe. Now, what effect would this have on the big Colt? Rob Lowe's played really well in the first half of this game that's currently going at halftime. He's got 8 points and 4 boards against Perth. You have to think that it would take some little bit off the ceiling of Colton Iverson. Is he one of those top 5 centre power forward prospects going forward in the game? I still think he's a good value play for now. It'd be interesting to see how that pans out. But another player that returned that is definitely a trade target is Kiefer Sykes. Had 30 fantasy points in his last game. And he, of course, came off the injury, slowly working his price up. He's probably got another price drop in him after this week. But another option for the potentially, I guess, the Ty Webster owner like myself who can't quite get up to Giddy or potentially wants to do some Giddy six man type magic as well. So Kiefer Sykes could be an option for you. While we're on the Phoenix, I know that it's going to be a bit of a hot topic with regards to Mitch Creek, who with 33 and 44 fantasy points is showing that from a fantasy basketball perspective, he is elite in that small forward position now. His court case is on April 21, which means that Creaky will probably be good for one more round as far as availability goes. He has a game the day after that court case, the following round. It really could be a one-week Creak, and it could be a straight trade-out. You'd imagine that there would be some significant scrutiny around that court case, and the vibe I get is that as soon as the league has the potential to suspend him without any sort of legal blockers, that they will. So something to consider for those who are looking to bring Creek in or already own Creek. While we're on the Phoenix, we'll start off some of the new injuries that Boardy missed out on. And I don't know how he did because he had both of these players in his team. First one, we've got Ryan Brockhoff. He is still TBA with a low-grade groin strain. So we will have to keep an eye out to see when he's going to play. You'd imagine that they would just ease him back in again. So we're almost back to square one with Ryan. Obviously was looking like a potentially good target to get. He could very well be in a few weeks, but you'd have to imagine there's going to be even more caution from the club with respect to Ryan and getting him back up to fitness. And of course the big news, DJ3J, the week after Jack White has ruptured his Achilles, done for the year. So very sad news for DJ. Hopefully we see him back in NBL 22. From a fantasy perspective, In the second game of the round, Sean Bruce went back into the starting lineup. Now, at 700K, we're talking about Ty Webster owners. Sean Bruce is, in fact, I think, a good backup point guard option at 700K at the moment now. Also, I haven't... didn't actually pick this up watching NBL Overtime tonight, but there's some chatter on our little group chat on the Patreon Discord that DD Lazada might actually get picked up by the Pelicans just for a look-see to see what they've got. I kind of missed that, but that was sort of the implications going on the group chat. So consider that if you are looking at DD Lazada. That would be definitely some sort of a risk. And the other new injury was in quarter one of the night tonight when, speaking of that group chat, there was bells and whistles going off everywhere and I wasn't watching the game at the time. I was updating the injury report and I turned the Twitch feed on and there's John Mooney jogging up and down on the sideline. And yeah, fair to say that John Mooney injury would have eclipsed any other injury that would have been in NBL fantasy this season, but thankfully he has returned to the court. Some updates on longer-term injuries or the updates on shorter-term injuries as well. Isaac Humphries, NBL overtime, he's probably not going to be playing this weekend, but he will potentially get some minutes the following week. If he is eased back into it, we might see a little bit of a price drop, and anything around, if we can see anything like Big Hump was delivering for us in fantasy, he will be a trade target in the second half of the season. Shea Ely, missed the last round altogether, haven't had anything official. It just looks like it's an indefinite sort of time frame. Haven't really described that sort of undisclosed injury at this point, as far as I can tell. Damn, Mitch McCarron was good as a result. Just fell shy of a double-double. It makes me wonder, and I wonder if this will be the questions that you guys will come through this week, is can we just hold Jock Landale and Mitch McCarron for 1 week and trade around them this week? I don't actually think that that is too bad of an option on your bench, as long as you can move them to your bench. They're not the must trades that we potentially looked at when we were just considering the schedule earlier on. Xavier Cooks, Liam Santamaria said on NBL Overtime tonight that we will see him at some point this season, which would be awesome. Now, I'll be catching up with Banksy immediately after this Perth-New Zealand game. So he just wanted to watch that game so we could get some captors numbers. For our Patreon supporters, get on the Discord and message us your questions. The good thing about that, it's not just us that'll be able to give you help. There'll be 38 others on there that'll be able to give you their fantasy advice as well. And otherwise, as Bordy's mentioned, our socials, Twitter is the best way to get in contact with us with your questions at Beeble_blokes, and we will do our best. Next up, we'll have Banksy's captains, and I'm very interested to see what he's going to say.
And now it's time for Banksy's captains. It's not Bernie or Bordy, so please don't at them. It's Banksy's choice, so he's in trouble. If his number one choice doesn't double!
All right, Banksy, now before we jump into these captains, mate, good to chat to you after another long day of work. We did think that there could have been some potential that Bordy could have made it back for these captains. We just assumed that he would have had to get ejected from the stadium, but it looks as though we had an overtime game, which has meant that we have been graced by the presence of Dr. Boyd, who's probably going to lose his segment after missing out on a bunch of key injuries, which will be interesting to listen back to once this is all stitched together at the end, but gives us a chance to go around the grounds quickly as well, which I'm going to start off with because I am the ordinary bloke, first one of the year. So well done, Banksy. I was the only one out of us to have tie. And speaking of a tie, Boydie, got something else to look forward to now in the rundown to the end of the season. Have you had a look at your overall season ranking?
Yes, I have, sir.
Where are you sitting?
Oh, 150th.
Guess who's 151st, 2 points behind you, or one point behind you at the moment.
Wow.
So for those out there, Bordy has taken the lead in the season long, being absolutely kissed by the rescheduling of games. And no, to be honest, he was smart to get out Ty Webster this week and mitigate that risk. But
I think you'd be proud of my trades this week, boys. I actually played the game properly.
Average bloke. Banksy, take it away.
Yes. I got rid of Webster as well, and I finally got rid of Bordy's mate, Krizlovic, and brought in Harvey, who dominated this week on the triple, and also Sam Froling, who was serviceable. But, yeah, nice not to be the ordinary bloke for the week for a change.
And the top bloke was looking really strong this week, mate. Bordy, tell us about your week.
Yes, I did similar moves to Banksy. I got Webster out and put Tyler Harvey in as well and started him. So the 123 there helped. And the week before, obviously, I did the trade and got Jessup in to prepare for this round. So I'm happy with that as well. And I started my boy Jock, who nearly top scored for the round with only two games compared to someone who had three, just about. So happy with that as well. But I did get I was smashed a little bit. I ended up trading out Dingadell for Rowdy Brokoff. But I was going to do DJ 3J for Rowdy, but I decided to get rid of Dingadell in the end, and it came back to bite me. I think Dingadell, I know he only scored 30 or something, but the DJ only had a 6, so obviously, unfortunately for him, injured. So
yeah.
Now maybe bench looking a bit rough with DJ 3J and Rowdy Brokoff in there too. That's obviously injured too. And the reason why I left those out of the Dr. Board's injury report is because I've had enough and I don't want to talk about them anymore.
Locked them out of your memory. And just the way it happens, you cracked 1,000 points this week and you lost your league game. Because it just so happens that we have...
Oh, no.
We compete against guys that are... where's Zach sitting at the moment? 11th in the universe at the moment. So... absolutely killing it. So
I've got to thank Bordy as well this week. Bordy, I've got to thank you this week. My week could have been a lot different. I think Bordy actually talked me out of going a week early on getting Jock out. I was trying to be ahead of the game. If I was to trade Jock out, I was going to trade him to Big Colt, who I was talking up last week. So my week could have been a lot different if Bordy didn't talk me out of that trade and played the longer game with trading one of my bench players up to Sam Froling. Thank you, Boyd.
No,
brilliant. All right. Now, thank you, Banksy, for giving us this week's captains because really, really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. What do you got for us?
All right. Let's get stuck into it. So I must admit, I watched the latter half of the Perth game that's just finished now along with you, Benny, and that has reshuffled my captains somewhat. Looking into next round, obviously we've got a very quick turnaround. Obviously all teams are on the double in round 14, aside from Brisbane and our Melbourne United players. Just really quickly, so Adelaide's got two away games. Cairns has one home, one away. You've got Hawks with two away games. We know Bordy really looks at home and away games. Obviously, New Zealand, two away games. Perth are the team with the two home games. So I think that's fairly important. We're looking at our captains this week. Phoenix, one home, one away, and Sydney have two home games as well. So a couple of teams there with two home games, which is important. Now, as I said, I did reshuffle my captains this week just based on what we saw in that Perth game. So number three will actually be John Mooney this week.
Ooh, wowee.
Balling down the ranking. So two home games, yes, please, in Perth. Coming off a triple, saw him just net us owners 157 points, 314 as captain. But I think we'd be ignorant not to raise that there is a slight flag there. So if you watch the game, he did tweak his ankle. Even in overtime, it was actually his lowest score of the season in a bit of a tougher matchup against Colt. 41 points in tonight's game. And I think importantly, what we've got to consider is just a reminder that Perth don't actually play their first game of next round until the Friday night. And I saw that a few people on Twitter fell into this trap last round with Ty Webster. So our captains will lock. This is captains and our vice captains lock on the Wednesday night. So if we don't know, but if Mooney was to be rested with that ankle in the first game, I would just hate to have him as my number one captain and have him locked in, only to miss that first Perth game on the Friday night.
That's to me, and you guys know I'm a huge Mooney lover, and you just can't have him. He's just too risky to be a captain this week, I think. You just can't do it because he could, you know, chances are he's not, but I think at the moment, as soon as he played out the game, but you don't know how, I think he just rolled the ankle by the looks of it when I saw it happen. And it looked really bad when he limped off the court sort of thing, couldn't walk on it, but then 5 minutes later, he's back on the court, you know, so he might have had a jab or something like that in there. And but who knows how bad it is. He's got to fly home. Obviously, plane trips and that sort of stuff do those, you know, play up with it sometimes and rah, rah, rah. So I think he's just too risky with that Friday game, knowing that everything locks tomorrow. Yeah, it's an interesting one because if you've got the manscape, you know, you've got the plums to go with him, he could end up being just a massive point of difference because people will be too scared to have him, I think.
I think a lot of people will still lock him in, to be honest. Yeah, I think the point of difference will be going against the grain and not having him as captain this week.
No, I reckon we won't have him, but anyway.
Yeah, I kind of on the side of Banksy there, I think a lot will just go him as captain, and a lot of people will just have him as captain by accident because they won't have made the adjustment by the time lockout comes tomorrow. So, obviously, we're saying that he doesn't play. Some may say that might give him time for the ankle to recover, but perhaps he got the old Dr. Boyd ankle treatment on the sideline, so he might be all right just for the one game. He did play over 40 minutes, but he could be in a moon boot for all we know if he did get that treatment and coming into next round. And I think, Banks, you're just forecasting, moving on to your remaining captain selections, the fact that they play early in the round is probably a big factor in that.
Correct. It has to be. And I think you just need to eliminate as much risk as you can. And if we didn't have the other viable options we're going to look at one and two, then, you know, we may can still consider Mooney. But I think when you can eliminate the risk and go with a couple of guys that are just as good this week, then I think you've just got to flag that and move on. For what it's worth, looking at his rounds earlier matchups, so he's got New Zealand and the Hawks at home, so he scored 65 against New Zealand, but against Big Colt in that overtime game tonight, that was actually his lowest score for the season with 41 points. And then his two games against the Hawks, he's netted 49 and 71. So jumping into number two, I'm going to go with big space Cam Oliver. We already know, obviously, Cairns have a number of injury concerns, but that last game they also lost Scotty Machado. Obviously, that naturally saw Oliver's usage increase in the second half of the last game, finishing with a pretty good stat line, 27 points, 12 boards, and 5 assists. Space Cam line of old, really, netting owners 78 fantasy points. And I think when I had him in my captains a couple of weeks back, he sort of gone back to the Space Cam of old, hasn't he? Putting up some big games in his last three. And I know there's still a little bit of a question mark around Machado's availability heading into round 14. I think there was a tweet from Cairns a bit earlier today. Still haven't made a call. So very much a question mark over Scotty, whether he'll line up or not. But looking at the matchup, so Cairns have Adelaide at home. Oliver's scores of 31 and 47. But just a bit of a note, both of those scores, I feel, were during his little bit of his, you know, his mid-season lull that he had, where he was just rolling out those 30s to low 40s every game for quite a number of weeks. Scores of 64, 80, 25, and 30 as well. But again, those latter two scores more recently during his lull as well. So I just feel that Space Cam is back. I know I brought him in a couple of weeks ago. I think you guys may have as well. But scores of 78, 43, and 69 in his last three games. And, you know, ever since he found his way back into the top three captains a couple of weeks back, we've seen that Cam's back.
Don't mind it.
And good news, as we mentioned before, he plays the first game of the round. So you can put your VC on him or potentially your captain as well.
And we'll also know whether Machado's in or out.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Gonna go with giddy up.
Mm-hmm.
Giddy up.
How's the current floor though? A low of 58 in his past seven games. It's pretty incredible. Four of his last five have been 70 plus, which actually gives him a 71.4 average or five game average, if you like, which is actually now higher than Mooney's five-game average of 59.6. So the most informed fantasy player in the game, essentially. And doesn't it just feel like he's just inching closer and closer to that triple-double we've been waiting for? It has to come, doesn't it?
Fingers crossed.
Consistently missing out by a couple of boards or a couple of assists, it seems, every single game over the the last few games or so. And looking at the matchup, so he has played Cairns already the once for a 58. He's played the Phoenix three times for scores of 68, 63, and 58.
Solid.
But, I mean, how can you deny that form, though? 71.4 five-game rolling average and a low score of 58 in his past seven games. So he's more informed than Mooney. He doesn't have any injury over his head, of course. And, how can you not be rooting for him to finally get that triple-double? And I just want him to be captain when he does. And I feel this week could be the week.
Be the week, you reckon?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, yeah, low risk, plays first game of the round, all about having that captain selection locked. Of course, that means for everyone who needs to bring Giddy in this week that you will have needed to do your trades to get him there, whether or not you can just really think about your trades, whether or not you can get Giddy with one trade or if you have to do the second one straight away and take advantage of the rolling lockout. Proved to be something that cost me last week, just getting itchy with the trade finger and not waiting for the Ty Webster confirmation. So,
yeah, and quite a few had Ty as the VC, and that's where they got stuck with him. Even if they had the trades up their sleeve still, they couldn't get Ty out because once that round started, that VC is locked in as well.
Mm-hmm.
That would have hurt.
Mm.
Very good, Banks. Something a bit different. I like it. Bordy, just do the quick wrap-up and we'll leave it there.
As always, guys, at @bball_blokes. On the Twitter sphere, Bebo, and what are we, Basketball Blokes on Facebook, and then the number one source of NBL fantasy information. You got the injury list there that Dr. Boyd does and stuffs it up, so Benny has to fix it up again. And you've got all the everything else we got on there, the schedulizer, etc., is at basketballblokes.com. Until next week, ciao.